So I thought we would learn a sugya tonight that rather than being a specific halachic shaila, it is almost in a certain sense an all-encompassing halachic topic that touches on many practices that are involved both in terms of Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the primary reason why we're learning this sugya tonight is because it is Parshas Emor. In Parshas Emor, we actually read the Parshas Amoadim, and the Parshas Shabbos is also the introduction, the Tchila Mikra Kodesh. And there is a term that appears many, many times throughout the parasha that we associate in our tfilos, in our kiddush, with every Shabbos and every Yom Tov. And it is a term that has a whole series of halachic ramifications to it. And a significant part of that term is really thrown to question, particularly in the situation that we're in today, as those who have the Ramah comes in front and see that the name of the Shia is Mikra Kodesh Bizman She'eim Mispalo B'tzibor. And how do we fulfill the mitzvah of Mikra Kodesh properly in a time that we live in now when we are not davening in Minyanim, we're not davening in Shul, we're not davening in Tzibor? How does that impact on our fulfillment of this phrase in the Torah of Mikra Kodesh? So at first glance, it has absolutely nothing to do with Mikra Kodesh. We think that Mikra Kodesh means to observe Shabbos and Yom Tov as holy days. But we're going to see a little bit further that there's more to it than just that. There's more to it than just refraining from halacha. Let's begin with the first of the Ma'amar Kavos. So the Ramban, Ala Torah, in Parshas Emor, comments on what does the phrase Mikra Kodesh mean. Shabbos is called the Mikra Kodesh. Yom Tovim are referred to with the phrase Mikra Kodesh. But practically, tachlis, what am I supposed to do to fulfill this obligation of Mikra Kodesh? So the Ramban tells us, V'ta Mikra Kodesh, Shiyu b'yom hazeh, Kulam kruim v'ne'esofim l'kadish yosef. So says the Ramban, the Lashon Mikra is related to the word Ela krue ha'eda. Other times that the word Kriya in Tanakh refers to a gathering, to a collecting of people together, gathering of people together. And what Mikra Kodesh means is Shabbos and Yom Tov are supposed to be days of public assembly, days of public gathering for the purposes of Kedusha. Just to have people get together just to not significant activities. That's not Mikra Kodesh. So Mikra Kodesh means you have to be Nikra, you have to be Krua Eta, you have to gather, assembly, gather the troops together for the purposes of Kedusha. What does that mean practically? Says the Ramban. Ki mitzvah hi al Yisrael li kovetz b'veisa elokim b'yom moed l'kadesh ayom b'frahesya b'tfila b'halo l'okel b'ksus nikiyah b'lasasa yom mishter. Says the Ramban, what the nature of the mitzvah of Mikra Kodesh is all about is the gathering of people together b'veis elokim in holy places. B'veis elokim here could either mean the Beis HaMikdash, but that would only be true vis-a-vis Yom Tov, because on Shabbosos there is no mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rega. We don't, generally speaking, go to the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. And even some of the Yom Tov and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are not really days that we associate at least directly with the Beis HaMikdash. There may be certain nuances of Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but they're definitely not days where everybody is obligated to attend to the Beis HaMikdash. And yet, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are also called Mikra Kodesh. So obviously the Ramban must mean there's more to it than just Beis HaMikdash, but any Beis HaLakim in the more general sense, even what we call Mikdash Ba'at, Ashuls, Abot Medrash. So these are also becomes the Beis HaLakim. And the mitzvah of Mikra Kodesh requires of us to gather together with the Tzibor, before Hesi, Betfila, to daven as a Tzibor together, and to recite Hallel on the appropriate days. And not only, says the Ramban, does it require us to assemble together for holy purposes, but we have to actually look that way. It has to look like a holy assembly. And the Ramban is an interesting comment, Beksus Nikia, that people have to dress appropriately. If people come to the Beis HaLakim, the Kaddish HaSayom, and they're not dressed in the status of Kedusha, so that will detract from the Mikra Kodesh. And then the last also is Yom Mishteh. And also to make these days days of celebration. And here, even though the Yom Mishteh part is probably not taking place in the shul, or definitely not in the Beis HaMikdash, the Ramban seems to also be highlighting the gathering, the assembly. This type of gathering may be a little bit more family-oriented, but again, it's the same kind of an idea of Kruya Eda, the notion of assembly of gatherings. So this is the Ramban's understanding of what Mikra Kodesh is all about. In fact, there is a halachic ramification of this statement, and that is the view that is expressed by the Ritva, The Ritva was a Talmud of the Talmidim of the Ramban. The Ritva's primary Rebbe was the Ra'ar, Rabbi Ar-Levi. For many years, it was thought that Rabbi Ar-Levi was the Mechaber of the Sefer HaChinuch. Years later, the Mefarshim realized that it was not actually him. The Mechaber of the Sefer HaChinuch was somebody else who lived around that time, but not necessarily Rabbi Ar-Levi. Rabbi Ar-Levi was the Rebbe Muvach of the Ritva, and he was one of the Talmidim of the Ramban. So when you read a Ritva, you're really looking, in a sense, at the yeshiva, at the legacy of the Ramban playing out two generations later. And it's not surprising that the Ritva has a fascinating comment in the Sechel in Marmakomos and the Sechel's Megillah, which puts him clearly in the camp of the Ramban in terms of understanding what the role of Holy Assembly on Shabbos and Yom is all about. The Ritva suggests via Shlomo de Kriyas Batar Bet Sibor Min HaTorah. The Ritva claims that laning on Shabbos and Yom Tov is actually a mitzvah d'oraisa. Now that is startling, because we usually associate the mitzvah Kriyas HaTorah as a mitzvah mit the Rabbanon. In fact, the Ritva is going to address that in a moment. The Ritva says that's not exactly true. The institution of laning, at least on Shabbos and Yom Tov, is d'oraisa. Says the Ritva, I'm going to prove to you that it's d'oraisa. Ta'amina b'brachas. Shalabadnu birchas haTorah lecharem in haTorah, v'kavachom in the birchas haMozel. The Gemara has a whole discussion about reciting a bracha after learning Torah, just like we recite a bracha after eating. So comes the Ramban and says, I'm sorry, comes the Ritva and says, what does that mean after learning Torah? When does learning Torah end? Lo shayich bracha lecharem lemitzvos hagisa v'yom v'layla. Obviously, the Gemara is not discussing when do you finish learning. And then you would recite the supposed bracha. She'ein the kriya zu shir that kol yom b'chol laila. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is 24/7, never stops for anything. V'ein the kayetim is a bracha le'acharel. So he says, what kind of bracha acharona is there for Talmud Torah? We don't have such a practice. When do we have a bracha after learning? V'ein bracha le'acharel el kriya b'tzibur she'esh l'shir. Kriyas HaTorah that's performed in a tzibur in a very specific amount. I finished the parsha, I wrote the Sefer Torah, I'm done, I'm finished with today's Kriyas HaTorah. That would lend itself to a bracha la'achareha. So the Ritva says, from the fact that the Gemara is discussing that bracha achareha of Kriyas HaTorah as potentially being min HaTorah, whether it is or is not at the end doesn't really matter, but the fact that the Gemara is entertaining the possibility of a bracha la'acharel of Kriyas HaTorah being deraisa, that is a proof positive that the unit of Kriyas HaTorah is a deraisa nikadin. So if that's the case, says the Ritva, if Kriyas HaTorah is deraisa, what in the world does the Gemara mean when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu and that Ezra elaborated upon the takan of Moshe, instituted Kriyas HaTorah? Says the Ritva, Moshe the Ezra tiken sheni the chamish v'shabes b'mincha. Says the Ritva, when Chazal speak about Moshe and Ezra instituting and elaborating upon Kriyas HaTorah, that means the Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Mincha laning, that's with the Rabbanah. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu made the Takana, when Moshe Rabbeinu acts on his own, that's a Takana Secha. Moshe Rabbeinu was not just the Makabel Torah from Sinai, he was also the first of Rabbeinu, the first of the Bet Yedidim. So anything that he made on his own accord is a Din Rabbanah. Anything that he was transmitted by Kodesh Baruch was a Din Raisa. So comes the Ritva suggests that the Kriyas HaTorah of Shabbos and Yom Tov is a deraisa. The Kriyas HaTorah of Monday, Thursday, and then Shabbos Mincha again is only with the Rabbanon as a Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu. What would the source for this deraisa be? So here the Ritva doesn't spell it out, but it is clear that he is following the footsteps of his Rebbe's Rebbe, that he had his eyes on this Ramban's Perush Al HaTorah. That just as the Ramban told us that Mikra Kodesh requires to gather together to daven, b'tzibur, to gather together, to say hello b'tzibur, to gather together, to do holy activities. What holier activity is there than limin haTorah? So the gathering of the tzibur together in shul, to lane and shabbos and yom tov is a real bona fide mitzvah d'oraisa. It is the mitzvah of mikra kodesh. And then, almost as an afterthought, the Ritva says, that even though he's not backing out from his position, he's sticking to his view that kriyas haTorah, shabbos and yom tov is d'oraisa. But he just backpedals for a moment and says, you know, even if I'm not right, there is definitely a Kriyas HaTorah D'oraisa. There's a concept of Kriyas HaTorah D'oraisa for sure, even if my chiddush is not necessarily correct. What would that Kriyas HaTorah D'oraisa be? You go in Parsha Zohar, Tamina Lekaban Zachar Bepei makes reference to a Gemara in Maseches Megillah that seems to say, at least according to some, that Parsha Zachar is Deraisa. And then he throws in for good luck, the same Parsha's Para, which is even more controversial, because Parsha Zachar, that at least we understand the Torah says Zachar. Para doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash Shalem Parsha's Para. So this is a very, very cryptic Ramban. Some Achorim are not even sure that the Ramban even said it. The Gaon claims that maybe Parshas Para as appears in some Rishon, maybe it's a Tal Sofer, maybe it didn't even mean to say Parshas Para. But again, that's already a whole another discussion. This was a very hot topic when our particular situation actually began. Those who may remember the very first Shabbos of when the shuls were closed, just happened to have been Parshas Para. And there was a big tumult at the time. Gevalt, what do we do with the mitzvah deraisa para? Again, obviously, even if Parshas Para is deraisa, it pales to the significance of the Pikuach Nefesh. So it wasn't a shiloh, we're not keeping shuls open just to lay in Parshas Para. But even at the time, the discussion was, is Parshas Para really deraisa? Will there be a makeup for Parshas Para? Do you want to fulfill Parshas Para on their own, then you have a chumash? There was a lot of tumult going already 2 months ago about the significance of this law in the Ramban about Parshas Para. But getting back to our main sugya, the Ritva is assuming that Chris, the Torah of Shabbos and Yontif is Deraisa, and the only source that we have is the Ramban's Mikra Kodesh. So when we read this Ramban and we read this Ritva, we almost feel a little bit of a Chalish Nadas, a little bit of an extra tinge of sadness today, because it would appear that we have lost out the opportunity to perform this mitzvah Deraisa countless times already. We have lost we lost count already how many weeks of Chris HaTorah we've missed, but we've missed many, many Shabbosos, and we've missed all the Yom Tov, all the Chris HaTorahs of the Yom Tov Pesach. So have we constantly lost out on this mitzvah deraisa mikra kodesh? Is there anything we can do? Is there anything, any little bit of nechama we can have, knowing that we're not fulfilling the mitzvah mikra kodesh in its full sense? Is there anything else available for us to do, almost as a makeup? I'm not even addressing the issue of making up Chris HaTorah in future weeks. That's a whole other topic. But even on the weeks that we're actually missing, what can we possibly do in light of the fact that, at least according to these Rishonim, we are definitely losing a dimension of Mikra Kodesh? So there is a sugi that appears in the third of the Maimonides, in the very end of Maseches Menachos, Nafkuf Yudam and Aleph. The Gemara makes the following observation. Am Rabbi Yitzchok, Mai Dichsiv, Zos Torah Sachatas, Zos Torah Sa'oshan. The Torah in Parshas Tzav introduces to us some of the details of the Karbonos with a very, very strange phrase. Zos Torah Sachatas. Zos Torah Sa'oshan, Zos Torah Sa'olam. The Torah introduces each of the Karbanos with that phrase, these are the laws, this is the Torah of the following Karban, which is a little bit of a startling phrase, because, well, we know, Vayda B'Shem Moshe Leibor, Kodesh Baruch is going to tell us the Dinim, so these are going to be the Dinim. So why the introduction? So come think about the following fascinating drasha. Kala Osik B'Torah Chatos, Ki Ilu Hikrif Chatos, Kala Osik B'Torah Sa'osham, Ki Ilu Hikrif Osham. This is to teach us that there's a significance of Torah's Chatas. Namely, even if for whatever reason you cannot bring a Korban Chatas, because there is no Beis HaMikdash, you could still learn the Halachas of Korban Chatas. And even if you cannot necessarily bring a Korban Asher, because there's no Beis HaMikdash, you can still involve yourself in the study of the sugyas of Hilchos Korban Asher. And in fact, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will reward you, will treat you, as if you actually brought the Korban. This is the source for the practice that we have. Every day, many of us say Ezim Ukomun in the morning. And one of the reasons for saying Ezim Ukomun is to fulfill this halacha that we know that we would love to bring a korban ola, but we can't. So we say the Mishnah, ola kodesh kadash, kodesh matzav, kodesh matzav, etc. We would love to bring a korban shlomim. So we say the Mishnah, we say the basic dinim of the korban shlomim in order to fulfill this idea of kala osi, kodesh chatas, etc. There are other reasons why we say Karbanos in the morning. We say it also just out to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and especially when the Gemara tells us that you're supposed to learn a little bit of Mishnayis every day, a little bit of Tashin Asab, a little bit of Tashin Babel, a little bit of Gemara, a little bit of Mishnayis, etc. So we want to make sure that we cover ourselves on all grounds, so we learn a little bit of Mishnayis as well. But the reason why we picked Dafka, the Perek of Mishnayis, and Ezim Karbanos, is because we want to fulfill this idea of Kala Osu B'Torah Chatas. The post can point out that it's very nice to say the Mishnayis, but some people like to add on a little bit more. Some people like to say he rubs on kilu krafti chatas, kilu krafti osha, kilu krafti oiva. So that's okay, except for the following. What if you're not chayav to bring a korban chatas? So it would be a little bit silly to say he rubs on Ribbono Shalom, accept my mishnayos as if I brought a korban chatas. So when it comes to an ola and a shlomim, which are voluntary korbanos, then there's nothing wrong with saying that statement. He rubs on Ribbono Shalom, makabel my Talmud Torah as if I brought a korban. Olin shlomim, that's fine to volunteer. But a chattas, you're not allowed to volunteer. So a chattas, you have to change the nusach a little bit. Some people may say this when they say the nusach in the tefillah. Some people, when they say kavanah, say yiratzon she'im nischayafti harei ki'ilu krafti chattas. So that way you covered on all bases. That if you really want mechal Shabbos b'shogeg, so then let this be a korban chattas. And just in case you weren't, so then it's no worse than any other limud Torah. There's a machlokes in the poskim whether when you get to the mishnah that Asham Toloi, whether you should say that Yiratzon also in that phrase. There's a machlokes of Tanoim in that Asham Toloi. Can a person volunteer to bring Asham Toloi? Asham Toloi is a very strange korban because it's a korban that's brought if you're not sure that you have a chatas. I don't know whether I was b'chol Shabbos. I'm not sure whether they ate in Yom Kippur. I'm not sure whether they ate chametz in Pesach. So you bring an Asham Toloi, and if and when you find out that you did, then you have to bring a chatas. And if you don't, then you are safe, then you are covered by the Asham Toloi. So Asham Toloi is a very, very strange kind of a mechaper, because it's a mechaper that you bring without even knowing that you were chote. So one time, Rabbi Eliezer said, even if you know for a fact you weren't chote, you could still bring it. Because you see proof positive that an Asham Toloi doesn't really correspond to anything you actually did, because in reality, you may not have done anything. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer's view was, you're allowed to bring an Asham Toloi any single time, any day of the year, whenever you want, you can bring an Asham Toloi. And the other Tanaim said, no. You only bring an Asham Toloi when you know that you maybe have to bring one. It's a little bit of a strange statement. When you know for sure that you may be chayav, then you know that you bring an Asham Toloi. So that would be machlokes poskim as to what the text should be when you say the parak, the mishnah, that Asham Toloi. Should you say kilu krafti Asham Toloi, or should you say im nischayafti kilu krafti? But getting back to our story, there's clearly a halacha that kol osik v'tas chatas kilu krafas. So there is a question whether that din, this statement, this man of Chazal, is something unique to korbanos. That this is true for korbanos, it's a special dispensation, a special schar that Rosh Hashanah gives you for learning Maseches Zvachim, is kiyu you brought a korban. Well, it's an erev Pesach. Many people have the minhag of saying the psukim of korban Pesach and learning Mishnayos, learning some of the din of korban Pesach, kiyu you crafty korban Pesach. Is this something that is unique to korbanos? Because Gzeres HaKosel kol osmit haschatos, or is this something that speaks to all mitzvahs? Any and every time you have an opportunity to perform a mitzvah, and some of that opportunity is snatched away from you, so then the next best thing is to learn the halachas. And when you learn the dinim, so that's ki'ilu you did the mitzvah. Let's say, a person finds themselves in a situation that they can't put on tefillin. The person's on a desert island, there's no tefillin. So they should, I don't think you can have Mishnah Berurah tefillin with them, but they should chazmer the dinim of tefillin in their mind. The person finds themselves in a situation that they can't perform any given mitzvah. So you should learn the minimum a little bit, and that's considered to be a kiyum, at least a quasi kiyum. So if this is true, that this carries over to other halachas, not limited to karbonas, so maybe this would be another way for us to fulfill the din of Mikra Kodesh. But even if the Ramban and the Rivar accepted that Mikra Kodesh requires of us to gather together as a tzibur, and to lane, and to daven in a minyan, and all of the above, and nevuch, we find ourselves in a situation where the halacha doesn't permit us to do this, because the chayvem, suffik pikuach nefesh, is doich, whatever this mitzvah is, so we cannot gather together in our shuls, but maybe we should talk about it. Maybe on Shabbos, we should talk, learn something in it. Maybe it's a good time, we should learn a little bit about the sugi kodesh. So I'm saying this year now, so you tell all your families at the Shabbos table about some of the details of mikra kodesh. So it'll be a kiyam of kol oisik b'toras mikra kodesh, kilu kiyam mikra kodesh. We'll talk a little bit about leini, talk a little bit about davening in a minyan, talk a little bit about the notion of the kaddish and farhesia, and that would be a partial fulfillment of this aspect of mikra kodesh. But perhaps there's another way for us to almost make up mikra kodesh, and even though we're missing mikra kodesh of davening in a minyan on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we're perhaps missing the idea of kriyas haTorah in a minyan on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But maybe the nature of the mitzvah mikra kodesh lends itself to almost like substitute aspects of mikra kodesh in the following sense. So there is a Rashi in the fourth of the Maamar Kamos, where Rashi comments on the poskim chumash about mikra kodesh. Katsheyu b'ksus nekiya uv'tfila uv'shar yamim tovim b'maychal uv'mishter b'ksus nekiya uv'tfila. Rashi says, what does mikra kodesh mean? Rashi is quoting right out of the Torah's Kohanim. What does mikra kodesh mean? Mikra kodesh means to be mekadesh the day, because the kiyah, something that the Rabban also made reference to, the way one dresses, one's supposed to dress in a nice, respectable manner on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and one daven special nusach, special words for Shabbos, a Shabbos davening, Yom Tov is not the same as the weekday davening. And whereas on other Yom Tovim, the Meichel of the Mishnah, which is the Kiyum Tvila. Other Yom Tovim, so then in addition to the Kiyum Tvila, you add in the aspects of Meichel and Mishnah as well. What does this Rashi mean exactly? Rashi is comparing and contrasting some Yom Tovim, you have four different aspects in the Mikra Kodesh, Meichel, Mishnah, the Kiyum Tvila, and some Nebuch, missing two out of the four. Which is the Yom Tov, which Yom Tovim are we missing two out of the four? So it is clear that Rashi is referring to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the only Yom Tov, it's the only Mikra Kodesh, that it is impossible to fulfill with Meichel and Mishnah. That would not be an appropriate way of fulfilling Mikra Kodesh, we're sitting down having a Yom Kippur meal. So Rashi is comparing and contrasting the Pasuk Mikra Kodesh, the phrase Mikra Kodesh by Yom Kippur, in contrast to the other Mikra Kodeshes. Mikra Kodesh by Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, even Rosh Hashanah can be fulfilled in four different ways. Whereas Mikra Kodesh on Yom Kippur, at least can be fulfilled with two out of the four. Kachem mitzvos nikiya u'betfila. It seems to be so obvious that this Rashi is referring specifically to Yom Kippur, that this is the reason why it would appear that there is a little bit of a mistake, a little bit of a publisher's mistake, in the way most of the Chumashim are printed today in terms of where this Rashi appears. If you go to your average Chumash today, so even if you go to the Artsville Chumash today, they will have this Rashi on the Dibra Maschil of Mikra Kodesh by the Yontif of Sukkis. That's where it appears in the Chumashim, the printers put it, by the Yontif of Sukkis, which is a startling place for it to be. Because Sukkis, what is world does Rashi mean? Sukkis is onyxus the Kiyum Tvila. What happened to the Sukkis meals? What happened to the food and drink on Sukkis? Obviously Rashi wasn't talking about Sukkis. So somebody goofed and put the Rashi in the wrong place. So in the later Chumashim, including in the art scroll, there's a little note, a little bracket that says that this Rashi really belongs back by Yom Kippur. Five psukim earlier, it says Mikra Kodesh 20 different times in the parasha. So the correct place for the Rashi to be placed was clearly by Yom Kippur. By Sukkot, it doesn't almost makes no sense whatsoever. But I guess they were afraid to tamper with the Halakha Rashi, so they just make the little disclaimer. By the way, the Rashi is in the wrong place, but the Rashi really belongs back by Yom Kippur. But what is the significance of this Rashi? What is Rashi trying to drive on? What point is Rashi trying to make to us by comparing Yom Kippur to Sukkot? Comparing Yom Kippur to Pesach and Shavuot. We don't know that in Yom Kippur you can't eat. I need Rashi. If not for Rashi, I would have thought, oh, Yom Kippur should have a Sunnah. To fulfill Mikra Kodesh, I don't need Rashi to tell me that. The Torah says, V'nisa b'sdav shoseichem. So what's the significance of this Rashi? So I think maybe what Rashi is driving at is as follows. That the Torah speaks about the model of Mikra Kodesh. And the truth is, the Torah doesn't really spell out, doesn't delineate exactly what Mikra Kodesh means. That's why the emphasis, there are really multiple levels of Mikra Kodesh. You could be the clear Shabbos and Yom Tov to Mikra Kodesh through eating. You eat in a more kedushic way. Shabbos and Yom Tov, you don't just sit down and just grab a snack and run out the door. You don't just, have a slice of pizza. Shabbos and Yom Tov, you sit down with your family, yourself and Yachad. The food is good. The food is fresh. Sometimes we eat Shabbos food on Wednesday also, but that's again the leftovers, that's the Shabbos food. So you sit down, you have a fresh bowl of chulin, you have a zasuda, that's a Shabbos to consider with zmira, it's with different Torah, and you dress like a mech, that's Mikra Kodesh. So that model of Mikra Kodesh obviously cannot be applied to Yom Kippur. But Rashi seems to be telling us, don't take the attitude that just because you can't be Mekadosh today in its entirety, so you shouldn't be Mekadosh at all, no, forget it. Whatever you can do to enhance the Mikra Kodesh, you're mechuyav to do. So when you could have Mikra Kodesh with Meichel and Mishnah, namely on Shabbos, you have to do that. And on Shabbos, you could have Ksus Nikiya, you have to do that also. And on Shabbos, you could have Tefillah, you have to do that also. Anytime you have the option, the more the merrier, the more application, the greater Mikra Kodesh you can do, the more intense your Mikra Kodesh is, the greater the Kiyam is. But on the days when it is just not practical to do Mikra Kodesh in its fullest sense, so in a certain sense, you have to make it up. That means that's exactly what we do. We daven a lot more in Yom Kippur than we do on a regular Yom Tov. A regular Yom Tov, we daven 11 o'clock. We daven the whole day. So a fakir, the way we dress on Yom Kippur is more important than the way we dress on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov. That was not meant to advocate dressing down on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If anyone walks through with that message from the Shem, it's the boat. But he's saying that for a person to say Yom Kippur, don't dress nicely, so that's so incorrect, because then you're detracting the very little bit, whatever left you have in Mikra Kodesh. So for Kirat and Yom Kippur, you have to up the ante in terms of your Ksus Nikiyah. You have to up the ante in Tefillah. You have to look special. You have to daven long. You have to daven more Kodesh. You have to look more Kodesh on Yom Kippur. Then you would do the rest of the year. It has to be more Kedusha, higher level of Ksus Nikiyah. Maybe as an aside, maybe this is part of one of the reasons why there's a Minhag Yisrael in many places. Dafka to wear kippos, dafka to wear levonim. Many people don't do that on Rosh Hashanah. Many people only dress up white on Yom Kippur. Maybe that's also, it's not just because we're like malachim, and it's not just because we're being chayzeh b'tshuva. It's not just because of to remember the tachrichim, then you have Yom Avisa. But maybe it's almost like the highest level of Ksus Nikiyah. It's a white, clean clothing. You know, we mamash look as pure, as pristine as we can. That's a great akiyah on Yom Kippur, because we have to get X amount of Mikra Kodesh in. So in a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, you could split it up a little bit. You have a little bit of Ksus Nikiyah, a little bit of tefillah, a little bit of Mishnah. You don't have that. So you got to upgrade it a little bit. So the tefillah is more Kodesh than the tefillah, and the Ksus Nikiyah is a little bit more Kodesh as well. So if that's the case, if Rashi is really alluding to this idea that Mikra Kodesh should be the most you could possibly milk Mikra Kodesh for on any given Yom Tov, so maybe we can extend this to our situation and say that we who live in a time when we can't quite fulfill Mikra Kodesh to its fullest extent, because we cannot do like the Ramban says, we cannot gather in our shuls to daven a minyan. We cannot gather in our shuls to tefillin. So we're missing a good chunk of Mikra Kodesh. Maybe the din of Mikra Kodesh, this is not just drush, it's not pidin. Maybe we have to almost make up for the missing Mikra Kodesh. The same way that Rashi is telling us that in Yom Kippur, you have to make up for the missing aspects of Mikra Kodesh, because unless the day becomes too much like a Yom Chol, so you have to up the ante with whatever is available to you. So the same is true for us, Bezman Hazeh, that now we live in a time when we can't quite fulfill Mikra Kodesh in the fullest extent. It behooves us to be more machbid on some of the other parts of Mikra Kodesh. Namely, we may not be able to have tefillah before Hesia, but our tefillah has to be better. Maybe that tefillah has to be longer, maybe whatever, but longer qualitatively or quantitatively, but maybe we have to spend more time in our tefillah on Shabbos than normal. And maybe forget, we have to spend more time in our learning. We can't have Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, but we have a lot of time of Kriyas HaTorah, Limud HaTorah B'Yachid. And maybe we don't have the ability to come into shul and have that beautiful Shabbos type of look of everybody all dressed up nice for Shabbos. But forget, maybe the stakes are higher now. Dafka, because we don't have the opportunity to express Mikra Kodesh in the fullest extent, maybe that's a greater Mechayev to dress the part of Mikra Kodesh. We shouldn't take the attitude that, well, we're not coming to shul anyway, so who cares? So let's dress down on Shabbos. Forget it. New chumrah, you got to dress up. Everyone's got to wear tuxes now until this matzah is over. That was not meant to be seriously. So we have to dress up a little bit. We have to be more machped on Mikra Kodesh in order that Shabbos shouldn't be detracted. We're losing so much from the Shabbos and Yom Tov anyway. Nebuch, we lost the shul, we lost the minyan, we lost the Torah. So Rashi's telling us, don't take the attitude, everything's lost. Forget it. That which we do have, you have to make the most of, and you have to make it more Kodesh in order to raise the bar a little bit in terms of our Mikra Kodesh aspect and chance. And that is another aspect of Mikra Kodesh that's also critical. It's critical all the time, and perhaps even uniquely critical at this time in our lives. Tosfos on the 5th of the Maimonides also discusses what Mikra Kodesh means in the following context. The Gemara in Shavuos tells us that on Yom Kippur, there are three different mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of refraining from malacha. There's a mitzvah of refraining from food. And there's a mitzvah of Mikra Kodesh. But it is unclear what exactly you're supposed to do to fulfill that mitzvah of Mikra Kodesh. It's part of the same issue that we're struggling with now. So Tosfos quotes a fascinating pshat from Rabbeinu Tam. It's the second line of Tosfos, or the fifth of the Maimonides, the middle of the line. But here in Rabbeinu Tam, Kol Mikra Kodesh, Shemodesh Shebeidin Kitshu, Vishoveis Mimalacha, Vishvil Kedusha Sayom. Rabbi Natan says, to fulfill Mikra Kodesh means that I am refraining from Malacha because it's a Yom Kodesh. Now what does it mean, V'lo Kar Mikra Kodesh? What does it mean not to be Kar Mikra Kodesh? She'enu Shoves Machmas Kodesh Sayom, Alech Machmas Shemes Atzel, Lasos Malacha. A person can refrain from work on Yom Kippur, or on any other Shabbos Yom for that matter, and not fulfill Mikra Kodesh. Why? If a person just doesn't do anything because they're simply lazy, they have nothing to do, so they didn't violate Malacha. On the other hand, they didn't fulfill Mikra Kodesh. Well, if you want to carry it over to Yom Kippur, A person could not eat in Yom Kippur because he's on a crash diet. So he's going to fast 24 hours, not because it's Yom Kippur, because it's a mitzvah, because it's Kiddush Hayom. So at the end of the day, the person didn't violate eating in Yom Kippur, but he didn't fulfill Mikra Kodesh. Mikra Kodesh means not just what you do, says Rabbi Natan. Mikra Kodesh includes why you're doing what you're doing, or why you're not doing what you're not doing. Mikra Kodesh is a mindset. Mikra Kodesh is an attitude. So in addition to the Rambans, Mikra Kodesh of coming to shul, in addition to the Rashi's, Ksuspikiya, the Mechel Mishnah, etc., Tefillah, Rabbi Natan is saying, whatever you are or are not doing, it has to be done with the proper spirit. That's what Mikra Kodesh means. So that idea that Rabbi Natan says in Mikra Kodesh, the Rambam almost identically says as well. The Rambam in the sixth of the Mamakomos, so the Rambam writes in Halacha Yedeis that Asu Chachamim Batal the Mitzvah Dvar B'Shabbes, the actual Asu B'Chol, that Chazal said that there are certain things that we're not allowed to move on Shabbos. The whole institution of Tultul Buktza. Where does that idea come from? B'Riman Nagbi Esuzeh. Why did Chazal say there's an institution called Tultul Buktza? For the following reason, Amru, Umayim is Hiru Nevi'im, V'tzivu Shlo Yeh, Hilucha B'Shabbes, Hilucha B'Chol. But it says in the Nabi Nishayo that your walking on Shabbos has to be different from the way you walk during the week. V'lo Sichas HaShabbos, K'Sichas HaChol. And the way you talk on Shabbos has to be different from the way you talk during the Chol. Sh'nevah V'davidah. Kav HaChayim Shlo Yeh, Tiltu Shabbos, K'Tiltu B'Chol. That if you're going to move things on Shabbos, the same way you move things on Chol, so that's going to be, in a sense, it's going to make Shabbos into Yom Chol. K'dei shlo yeh Yom Chol be'enav. And if that happens, then you're going to end up potentially losing out the whole idea of what Shabbos is. Shabbos L'Shem, L'man Yenuach, etc. So the Rambam says that's part of the reason why Chazal didn't want people to move Muktzah. Not only because moving Muktzah is going to lead to actual Malachas, but because when you move Muktzah, so that makes it very weekday oriented. That gives a certain weekday spin to it. It's like when we were little kids, so they used to tell us that don't do certain things because they're not Shabbos dick. But we thought that meant not Shabbos dick is a nice way of a parent telling us that it's really okay, but you can't do it because it doesn't look good. No, that's what it means. But it's not Shabbos dick. That means it's Alpi Amoch, it's a problem. It's not Leman Yanuach, it's not Shabbos L'Hashem. It's not considered to be what the picture, the imagery of Shabbos is supposed to be. And therefore Chazal added on, in addition to the Malachas, in addition to the Gezeiras, they added on a whole area of Hilchos Shabbos called Tultu Mukta in order to get people to make it a very, very Shabbos-tic picture. And then the Rambam continues in Halacha Yud Gimel. I'm going to have to just switch over to my phone for the Rambam because when I printed out the sheets before, I didn't realize that there were two sheets in Rambam Kavos. So I only printed out one, so I'll give you 1 second to get it off my phone for the second half. Okay. All right. Rambam here, no one should be chashing me that I'm looking at my text in the middle of giving a shiur. I'm just gotta find the Rambam. So the Rambam continues in Halacha Yud Gimel that at the end of the first line, says the Rambam, there's another aspect of Mukta that not everybody goes to work. There are a lot of people who are not working. Hatayolim, the Yoshikronos, Shikoyimeim, him Shosim, those who have on the pages, those who have on the Marmachom, Shikoyimeim, the Tenim, the Malachom. The Imiya Mutal Halech, the Dab, the Talp of the Shayyamim, Nimtash Loshavash Fisani Keras. If a person who's not working anyway, he's not a farmer, he's not plowing, he's not a builder, he's not building buildings, he's not doing laundry, he's not doing anything, he's not a cook, he's not doing any Malachas, if he doesn't have Mukta, it'll turn out that you can't even tell that it's Shabbos. It's not going to be a Shvi'is Ani Keres. Lefik, the Ram says, Shvi'is Mitzvah Eli Shvi'is Hashavah B'Chaladam. Therefore, the Halacha says that if you refrain from moving Mukta, that talks to everybody. Even a person who doesn't have a Malacha per se, everybody moves Mukta during the week. Everybody touches Mukta during the week. So you tell everybody, stay off of Mukta, stay away from Mukta. That will accomplish what's called the Shvi'is Ani Keres. But the Rambam is describing Shvi'is Ani Keres seems to be what Rabbi Natan is talking about as well. It is not enough to simply not do Malach on Shabbos. You have to not do Malach on Shabbos, and it has to be clear as day why you're doing it. What is your motive? What is your agenda for not doing Malach? If you're not doing Malach, it's because you have nothing to do the other 6 days of the week. That's wonderful. You didn't violate the Safek of Malach, but you didn't fulfill Shvi'is Ani Keres either. So what Rabbi Natan was describing in terms of the mitzvah of Mikra Kodesh, The Rambam was echoing here as well. That's part of the idea of total muktzos. So the Rav added one last point to this sugya, and that's the last of the Mamakamos. The Rav explained, he thinks that that's part of what the Gemara means in Brachas in the seventh of the Mamakamos. Zocha v'shamor, koshi yeshna v'shmir yeshna v'zachira, hani noshi ol v'snea v'shmir isnea v'zachira. The Gemara tells us that women have to recite Kiddush and Shabbos, or if you hear Kiddush and Shabbos bin HaTorah, because women are included in the prohibitions of not doing malacha. Whoever cannot do malacha has to recite Kiddush. Shama v'zocha v'dibarecha nemru. What is the deeper significance of that statement? So the Rav explained that Shama v'zocher is not just that it's just cute that they both in the Aseres HaDibros and they go hand in hand. It's much more profound, much deeper than that, said the Rav. Shama v'zocher v'dibarech ha'nemru means that the whole purpose of Kiddush is to declare that the reason why I'm shavis in malacha is because of Shri Sani Karas. That if a person's not going to make Kiddush, so they may very well refrain from malacha, but it's not going to be recognizable why they're refraining from halacha. So the mechanism, the mitzvah of Kiddush is a mechanism to ensure that it is clear from the very moment the minute Shabbos starts, the first words almost out of a person's mouth on Friday night are, "Bayer v'ayvachli yamashishi v'aychul shvavu v'ach t'mikadosh Shabbos." You recite Kiddush to Shabbos, saying clear as day, "I am hereby refraining from halacha because the Rebbeinu Shalom commanded me, zeichel ma'aseh b'reishis, to refrain from halacha." That is what ensures that Shvisa B'Shabbos and the Shvisa Nikaris. So what the Gemara is telling us in Brachas, it is therefore inconceivable that a woman shouldn't be included in Kiddush. How could it be that the Torah would give Malacha to a woman and not Kiddush to a woman? If someone would have an Issa Malacha without a Mitzvah Kiddush, then the Torah would be sanctioning something which is inconceivable on Shabbos. The Torah would be creating a model for Shvisa She'ena Nikaris, and that's not acceptable. So comes the halachim tells us in three different places that it is critical on Shabbos that Shabbos be nikeres le'ayin, it is clear as day for you and for those around you that why you're doing on Shabbos what you're doing and why you're not doing what you're not doing. And that's what the Rabbeinu Tam says, that is the mitzvah mikra kodesh. And that's what the Rambam says, that's the background to muktzah. And that's what the Gemara Maseches Brachos with the Rav's interpretation is what Kiddush is all about, to ensure that it's a shvisa. So perhaps one could suggest that even though right now the world that we're in may be lacking to a certain extent in Mikra Kodesh, that we don't have the opportunity to kill and gather in our shuls and about the midrashos and about the kriseos and talayim, the daven and yet say hallelujah, we don't have that bracha. Hopefully, at the Shem that'll come at the right time. But right now, we still don't have it. So we're kind of searching for almost like ways to make up. What can we do to Mikra Kodesh to almost substitute for what we're lacking? So rather than getting down and depressed about what we don't have, it's always good in life to focus on what we do have and make the most, and sometimes even make more out of what we have. So we said that according to Rashi, we can make it up a little bit with more Torah and more Tefillah and more Michael Mishnah, not necessarily more calories of Michael Mishnah, more Kedusha Michael Mishnah. Our Suddhas can be a little bit more transformative for the Shabbos perhaps at this time, and Exodus Bekiah can express an even greater commitment to Mikra Kodesh. But maybe we have almost a strange opportunity to fulfill the seventh aspect of Mikra Kodesh as well. As we all realize, all of us are a little bit limited in what we're doing. Now again, different people means different things. Many of us are still working from home. Many of us are not working from home as much as we're working during the rest of the year. Some of us may be working from home more than we're working the rest of the year, whatever the case may be. But many of us have different schedules. I would say, venture to say, by all of us have different schedules. And the absolute clear line of demarcation, you know, when we go out to the office every day and we go out to our regular work, so we know there's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Shabbos is so fundamentally different. It is so radically different that we're home. It's the first radical difference. That Shabbos is so radically different. We're not in our cars. But most of us, myself included, we end up living in our cars. We sit in traffic in our cars. We try to get through carpool in our cars. We sit on the bridge for hours on end in our cars. We spend so much time in our cars. Come Shabbos, Bo Menucha, that Shabbos is so different. So Shabbos, the 6 days of the week, we very rarely see the walls of a house. And we see our cars, we see our offices, we see all the workplaces at work, where we're doing so many other things. Come Shabbos, well, it's an unbelievable change. And for many of us, the 6 days of the week, we don't see our families as much. We're busy. Those little kids, by the time many of us get home, the little kids are already sleeping. So we don't see as much. Come Shabbos, well, we have an opportunity. If you think about it, some of the divisions between Shabbos and the Sheshes Nehemasa have been blurred during this particular crisis. That pretty much all of us were home. So we're home 6 days a week. Same as we were home on Shabbos. We very rarely see the walls of our cars. I said, I can tell you, I get a very simple cheshbon. I can tell you how often I fill up on gas. On a regular week, I can get to the gas station 2-3 times. Now it's once a month I fill up on gas. I say the only thing that we're saving money on is the easy pass and gas bills. So, somebody said to me this morning, they were talking to me about how they so rarely drive. They said they got into the car this morning, they forgot how to turn it on. I don't think literally, but figuratively. So, it's almost like the God's Baruch Shabbos. Like, during the rest of the year, we barely see our families. Baruch Hashem, we all see our families. We see our families a lot. We see a lot. It's good. We spend a lot of time with the families all week. I said, another unbelievable phenomenon. I said, for most of us, myself included, the notion of sitting down, having dinner with our families on a Tuesday night is almost unheard of. I said, we have dinner together almost every night. Mama, we have breakfast, lunch, and dinner together. I mean, pretty much we're on our same schedules. So especially us, I said, I rarely see my kids under normal circumstances. So my two boys in yeshiva, one of them is usually at school. Now he's in America for the time being. And he's usually there, so I don't see him at all. My other bachur, my other boy is away in yeshiva. I barely see him either. I said, my younger daughter's in school all day, but I don't see that much of my kids. I said, Baruch Hashem, we see our kids 6 days a week. That's wonderful. And all some of those things are good things. But wait a second. What it may do is, it may almost take a drop of the special, unique Shabbos experience away from us. Maybe we don't appreciate Shabbos as much. You know, when we're driving and when we come huffing and puffing in from the office on Friday afternoon at the last minute, well, bo Shabbos, bo menucha. But we weren't huffing and puffing all week, so then maybe we don't appreciate the great gift of Shabbos as much. So what that means for us is we have to go the extra mile. What it means is we have to be more moisten efforts. We have to think of more ways to make Shabbos different. We have to think of more ways to elevate Shabbos. We cannot take the attitude of, we don't really need Shabbos this week because the whole week was Shabbos. No. We have to make it more nikeres. So whatever way, shape, or form we can, whether some of the guidelines that we spoke about before, the Torah, the Tefillah, the Sudas, the Tzustakiyah, whatever shape or form that difference makes, but we have to not forget that the Shabbos is special, even at a time when the rest of the week, like the Rambam says, that not all of us are going to tayolim. So we're probably all a little bit of quasi-tayolim to some degree under this existence. So I think that the mitzvah of Kodesh, of course, is a mitzvah that speaks to us every Shabbos and every Yom throughout our lives. But perhaps over the last couple of weeks, and again, nobody really knows how long these weeks are going to last for, but as long as they last, so maybe give us a little bit of chizuk that we can up the ante a little bit on our mitzvah Kodesh, and hopefully even in Mitzvah Shem, when this whole situation is over, so we'll be able to take some of the lessons of Mitzvah Kodesh that perhaps we learned and improve that our Shmir Shabbos and Shmir Yom Tov. Hopefully that will help us in future Shabbos and future Yom Tov as well. Wish everyone a good night. Wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.
Shkarach.